The more we destroy their military infrastructure, the airfields, their ammunition depots, their command centers inside Russia, the more difficult it will be for them to conduct warfare on the front line. We need to disrupt their logistics, and this is happening. We're doing it on a daily basis. But as always, it is not happening, you know, sufficiently fast. This is why, you know, we are pleading with our partners to expedite the delivery of everything that already has been promised. I mean, some of the things, you know, our partners have committed to deliver and they haven't. This is why, you know, sometimes our president and all of us, we feel a bit frustrated again.
So how long have some of these things been promised but not delivered? How much time has passed since the promise and they still haven't been delivered?
We have to be diplomatic. We cannot just, you know, aggressively demand, because we are in a position of the receivers of this support, right? So we are grateful for everything we receive. But trust me, when you see, like we did today, when you see video footage of a 9-year-old girl being pulled out from the rubble, now it almost, like, you don't want to be polite. You don't want to be diplomatic. You want to shout in the screen. You want to shout on your phone. Give us what we need. We want to stop seeing our children being killed, right? It's like your day begins by seeing your children being killed. I mean, that's not normal. It should not be happening. And we all know how we can reduce the risk of this happening in the future. Why not do it? I mean, that is, you know, sometimes it feels like it's just, you know, I feel like I'm lost for words. Why, like, why does one have to explain that if there is a rape going on in the central, somewhere in central streets of some city, you need to call the police, or you need to disarm and kick the rapist. So we're done. Dancing around this issue, everybody understands what needs to be done, but of course there is that fear of escalation.
Your leadership in your country there's another big reshuffle, and we don't need to get into the names and the positions and what's going to happen and all that. But how does this impact Ukraine's ability to fight this war right now?
Well, our political leadership, this is not the first time we're going through a reshuffle during the war. Based on the previous experiences, we have seen that, you know, unlike or rather contrary to the existing stereotype, you know, it is possible to change military and political leadership during the time of war when the circumstances call for it. And our president and his team, they believe that at this stage where we are right now, and we are facing one of the probably most challenging winters in the whole of the Ukraine's independence history. Now, we are facing a difficult situation on the front lines. We need probably fresh approaches, and we need to have sort of new people, making sure that we are strong in different areas of our country, of our economy, of our military. Mind you, the people who are now being replaced, many of them will continue to serve the Ukrainian government in a different capacity, but everybody is still determined to continue to do what they can and what they have to help Ukraine win, to help Ukraine defend itself, to help Ukraine maintain good relationship with the Western partners so that they support us.
That's Yuri Sack, advisor to Ukraine's Minister of Strategic Industries. JJ Green, WTOP News.